guys. Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read and Weep. I'm Alex Falcone in Portland here with Megan.
Hello.
And joining us in Brooklyn, no, not in Brooklyn, in his Seattle studio, it's just Chris by himself.
Hello.
And Tanya's sick today.
Yeah, Tanya's got a bit of a cold. We're very sorry to miss her. Yeah. Also joining us today, though, back at home in the Bay Area, it's Ez and Sarah and a baby.
Hello.
Hello.
I heard Ezra's voice first.
Caleb has a lot to say today.
Yeah, this is gonna be pretty much Caleb talk.
Was he really upset about the sausage thing? Was it too gross for you, Caleb?
Yeah. He was like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no one likes seeing how the sausage gets made, guys.
Yeah, well, moreover, nobody likes a door open that wide for just dirty jokes.
Yeah, that's what I was more talking about.
Guys, I don't know if you had this reaction also, but, like, Padma really embarrassed me. It was like...
Yeah.
He was hiding under his sweatshirt as well.
No, it was like, basically, like, if you ever, like, see, like, a parent, like... I don't know, like, hit on someone, it was felt like that. It was like, come on, Mom, like, knock it off.
It was embarrassing. Well, let's jump into let's talk about the quickfire then, because that's where this all happened. For the quickfire challenge today, our chefs were tasked with making a big sausage for Gronk.
Yep, for a big Gronk. Rob Gronkowski, the tight end for the New England Patriots.
And all he knows how to say is, I am Gronk. That's his only verbiage.
Yep. We are Gronk.
Yeah, we are Gronk at the end.
Spoiler. let's talk about this. What do you guys think about having Gronk be, like, the judge of this challenge? It's obviously fun to get sports people in here, but do you think his palate really justifies him getting to choose?
Maybe for hot dogs.
I mean, his palate's really big, right? That's got to count for something. Yeah.
You know, this reminded me so much of a Top Chef Canada challenge where they have a local celebrity come in and basically say, I like this kind of food. And they don't have any foodie credentials, but it's just like, well, I like sausage. And of the sausages I liked this one the best.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I read somebody on Reddit was criticizing him for, like, because his whole problem with Gregory's sausage was that it was spicy. Not that it was too spicy, just that it was spicy at all.
Well, it was unfair. That the spice, and it was too busy, basically. He didn't get enough raw sausage flavor.
Right, and then the winner was just pretty much like just sausage and eggs. It was a very straightforward winner. I felt a little unfair to the chefs to have to cook for a Gronk. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the thing that Doug said about how he was going to be upset if someone who made a sausage patty win.
Yeah.
Because he'd put so much effort into making this perfectly, you know, this perfect sausage in a casing.
He was the only one who nailed the casings.
Yeah.
So that's a sub-question.
Yeah, and he made a big one as opposed to some of the smaller ones.
Right. Like, his was specifically ordered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so let's do that then. That's a great question. Does a sausage need a casing? Did that feel like cheating, that they just smushed the sausage material?
I mean, it's so much less technique.
Yeah, it is much less
technique. Yeah. We have the extra cheater word in there, patty, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's not a sausage.
It's always a cheater word, no matter how you apply it.
Yeah, right? It's like a cheater form of peppermint.
I asked for a York peppermint patties. And you just gave me a York peppermint patty. How dare you?
Yeah, it's squishy. Yeah. All
Why didn't it come in its mint casing?
It was
perfectly executed.
When I was trying to say filling for sausage, I almost called it the sausage dough because I couldn't figure out what it was.
Meat dough?
Yeah, meat dough.
It's all just cookie dough to you, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, it's just a meaty cookie dough.
Would that work, actually, for, like, so,
nope.
You know, we have, like,
nope.
Like
a
no, hear me out.
I'm going to side with Chris, but I will also hear you out.
Okay. Well, so, like, right now we have, like, these, like, you know... Like the British, like, pasties things where it's like meat stuff inside of, like, a pastry, like, dough. Mm-hmm. Can you just, like, mix up the meat inside the dough and then just, like, bake it and see what happens? Just, like, churn it?
I mean, if what you're going for is let's see what happens, then you're always going to be successful.
You're totally welcome to do
but
that.
But I'm not sure it's going to be credible food.
It comes out evenly of it. Because, like, if the doughy part is, like, in the middle rather than... On, I don't know.
Like, I agree. I'm unclear about what you're suggesting. Do you mean like...
Well,
like
so is he.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, so is Ezra. It's okay.
I mean, I want to, like, I guess I want the kind of the Cold Stone, like, creamery approach to pastry. Like, yeah,
oh,
pastry.
Man, I want to go to Cold Stone today.
Right? Okay, great.
I'm in the suburbs. I can do that.
You can, easily. You can drive there and park.
The sweet cream ice cream is pretty solid, even though they make the big deal about the mix-ins. It's really just about pretty solid homemade ice cream.
I Alex, feel
if you can put peanut butter in it, you should put peanut butter in it.
I know, but it's like $2 extra for each topping. It's a ripoff, and the cream is actually very good.
Yeah,
and topping even is a bit of a misnomer. You know, it's like just it's middling.
It's a middling. Yeah, and whatever you
call it, a mixing.
Don't get an ice cream patty, Chris. It's just cheating.
Yeah, that's right. I need it inside its casing,
which is a waffle cone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way more technique, but obviously it seems like Gronk is not going to be the guy who's like, this was harder and more technique. I mean, this just seems like a question of, like, of actual definitions. Like, it seems like people who don't make a sausage weren't actually doing the challenge.
Yeah, it was interesting because George was so, you know, really did try to put it in a casing, and it didn't work out for him. So he's like, I guess I'm going to have to do a patty. And then it was like everyone else besides, like, Doug and I think Melissa tried, you know, did
Melissa
very
got
small,
the little stubby sausages.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of other people did patties and didn't even think about the casing, which was sort of interesting.
It is also, that's two times now where George has won a quick fire by pulling out his B plan really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the reason I'm okay with Gronk doing this is because it's not like it was like a surprise guest. It wasn't like, oh, hey, we have Hubert Keller here to judge sausages. Oh, wait, no, it's actually Gronk. And like, that was like,
why so that they do that?
He didn't whip off like a Hubert Keller like mask and like it was Gronk underneath. So like you knew what you're trying to like who you're trying to please like the entire time is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
so like
yeah. I think that's a fair point, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
It was not a surprise Gronk. It was pretty much Gronk from the get go.
They telegraphed
not see Gronk
from the get-go.
Coming.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is like we kept saying, you know, like, oh, we haven't seen modern Boston, we haven't seen all that, like Rob Gronkowski is a local superhero in Boston, and I was really pleased that we got some of that, like, local hero sort of deal.
And muscles.
Yeah, and he muscles. Has muscles. He likes sausages.
He is super cheesy.
You can see why football players don't get to talk during the game.
Yeah.
It's not his specialty.
It's not called talk ball.
But man, with Padma and Gronk, can we just talk about this more for like?
I loved that. I thought it was so cute.
Really, really. I mean, like, I'm so glad that. Okay, if you have it on film, you obviously have to like put it on the show.
Oh yeah,
but
at that point, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was that awkward. I thought they were both having fun with it.
But I think she was a little Twitter-pated. Like it was that's I think that's why.
I guess
why.
I just think of Padma as being above being Twitter-pated. I don't know. It seems like who in the world can she not get? Who is she having a hard time?
Apparently, Rob Gronkowski.
I mean, I guess. If you divorce from Salman Rushdie, you do kind of want the rebound to be like the polar opposite of that, and you pretty much found it in Gronk.
I mean, yes, that's true, but it's been a while. This is not still a rebound. Now this is a choice.
So I guess there could have been another Gronk before, like right after Rushdie, and then like another Rushdie after that Gronk.
Yeah, there's a
like,
rebound like Gronk, and then you settle somewhere in the middle with a Roshgunk? Roshunk?
Yeah, that's a good portmanteau.
Roshki? Nope, I gave up. Well, so the more important thing I think that happened here, though, was that George won immunity, the big eye, still, with only six people.
This had...
Alex, how do you feel about that?
Oh, my God. If this isn't the last time, it might be my last time.
Yeah. If they do immunity with... Well, because... Wait. So the Nicholas fiasco, how many people were there?
I think that was five.
You think it was five?
I don't remember. I wish I did. But it was super late. Six feels way late to me because it means there's only going to be two people on the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like six should be the cutoff point.
Seven, you can do it. Six, no, is my feeling. Six is too far.
Mm-hmm.
And five would be way too far.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it just sucks
arguably,
the guy who just got into the competition by having a bye for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So he just gets another bye for week number nine.
Yeah, we arguably did have, you know, George would have been the bottom and may have even gone home had he not had immunity.
Yeah, I don't know if
it was that's how immunity
that he
works.
Gone home, but he definitely would have been in the bottom half because it was just really boring.
Yeah, it was boring, and I think, you know, Katsuji, who wound up going home, his dish was anything but boring.
Mm-hmm.
Gregory's was maybe overthought and under-executed.
Well,
but...
let's talk about all of these. So really quick, just in case you missed it, the elimination challenge was to make a dish based on a New England author or their work or just one sentence that they wrote one time.
this one time.
Kind of hard to know how to act. Like, this is a... I mean, I think this is one of those phony challenges where it's basically like you just have to be able to say something related to the book, and then if your food is great, you're not gonna lose.
Well, maybe
you can't save a bad dish with a good story.
No, you can't. I mean, Katsuji couldn't. So
no, yeah, Katsuji had the best story and the worst dish, and you also like couldn't have the opposite, which is where like your best dish couldn't be killed by a bad story.
I don't know. If it was that sort of happened to Gregory. Like his,
Gregory had the meat issue. Yeah,
there was a meat issue, but he didn't have a good story, and so, or he had a story, but it wasn't like visually obvious.
Yeah,
and that did hurt him.
I was surprised by them liking Melissa's story so much. I hadn't read that novel, but it sounded so tenuously connected.
Yeah,
I never even heard of that novel, actually.
What's the novel again? It was Nathaniel Hawthorne, right?
Yeah.
But it was not Something Farm.
By Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Her whole thing was, it's about a community that goes through the seasons or something. So here is fall and spring on a plate. And I don't know. I mean, it looked like it was good, so that got her through, but...
Yeah, I just think her dish was great. I think it was a mediocre story. And that if they love the dish, they can, like, forgive some of the story. And George's is the exception because he got Dr. Seuss and made a very boring looking plate of food, and that's inexcusable. There are certain ones, mm-hmm. like Dr. Seuss, you have that's a gimme. That's an easy one to make a story, right?
It's just whimsical. You got to be fun, and he made like a couple of fish next to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but the judges brought that up. They pointed that out. Whereas with Melissa, they were like, it was great, and I was just like, no, it's not.
Well, that's because they've never read Nathaniel Hawthorne, and they all know Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss is the one that you can't like. You can't be boring on that. That's all you have to do. I think probably Stephen King would have been similar to that.
Yeah, although actually Francis Lamb did like speak knowledgeably about the story that Melissa was referencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
which is further proof that Francis Lamb is like, he's too good at everything. he walks around in my neighborhood sometimes, and I see him, and he's just too good.
Yeah, I saw him when which I think Doug even mentioned that he was here for Portland last year. Greg mentioned it. He was here in Portland for our big food festival, and I saw him at a coffee shop, and I thought he was great and didn't tell him because I respect him too much.
Yeah.
Well, I think with Melissa's, I was really glad that she finally got to use her like amazing knife skills and have it actually like pay off for her, because she's done that several times in the past where she's like, I really just really wanted to show off my knife work, and they were like, we don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. And they really liked it.
I was glad it paid off for her.
Also, good on the knife work, May, who made
holy moly, May. Mm-hmm. That was a crazy dish that she busted out, and I was so happy that we saw like her like go hard.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She made she made the vegetarian dish, right?
Yeah, with the snow, like it is.
Oh yeah, that was actually super beautiful.
Onion soil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and like not just like usually it's like, oh yeah, this looks pretty, and I get why you're putting that, and usually it tastes like shit. So good job, and actually it being like a good tasty part of the dish as well.
Yeah,
we need to talk about that snow.
Okay.
I mean, that's what Richard said in the first episode.
Oh, the olive oil snow.
Oh, right. The snow. Yeah. But he wasn't here to make us talk about it. So maybe that's why it was. But yeah, also it could be that like Katie's was just superfluous and this one was actually a really great flavor and good part of the dish.
Yeah.
And May's wasn't olive oil snow, was it?
I don't remember what snow it was. It was something snow. And then she also had some
cheese.
She had a charred...
It wasn't cheese.
The soil was a charred onion soil.
Right.
Yeah.
I loved hers. I just loved that it was actually, like, a visual from the book that you could, like...
Totally.
Like the way that she explained it, you're like, yeah, that's what it looks like. And the same with Doug's. The sunset in a cup thing.
Beautiful. I mean, it was a great visual, but like that was just like one sentence from one book somewhere. Like, it wasn't like he was capturing the essence of Emily Dickinson.
She was a poet though, so I feel like it's fair like to take one.
Yeah. Who could really capture the essence of Emily Dickinson?
Oh my god, that would be impossible.
It would be
I mean that's why I'm saying this is a phony challenge, because it's impossible for everybody. You just have to come up with a good bullshit and then you'd make a great dish. And that's why Dougie did well, is because he made a brilliant soup. And the judges, if you make a great soup, they are more impressed than if you make a great like arranged plate, it seems like. They really are impressed by good soup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's, I think that's actually, that might be one of the highest, like, I guess, like, ceilings, I guess, for dishes, maybe. Is soup?
The soup ceiling?
Yeah. Yeah, the soup ceiling, I think, is pretty high.
I don't know which one they want to call it. But yeah, it does seem high. But also, that it's one of those that if you pull it off, you can win almost every time. It seems like that's us. Yeah. That's, which, having tried and failed to make soup like 8 times this year, soup's hard.
Did you accidentally make bread or something?
It's hard to get
out to be a cracker.
Really good flavor.
Sometimes it comes out spaghetti. It's really a bummer.
You know what was interesting with this challenge is that the people who chose their books first ended up doing worse than the people who got like the second half of the books to choose from.
Because sometimes an advantage turns out to be a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Top Chef.
Yeah, it makes sense. You really do, I think, want just restrictions, I guess. Mm-hmm. And like, I think the people who maybe chose early, like, oh, there's so many options to go with this. And like, yeah, with Doug at the end, he's like, well, let me just find one line that I can make work, you know?
Yeah, being in a tight spot kind of, makes you more creative.
Yeah. So let's talk about Katsuji's horror show. Too much or not enough?
Yeah, so he did Carrie, right?
Yeah.
Stephen King.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think it was
a beat splatter. It wasn't like it was like actually tied to Carrie somehow.
And there was,
there was a lot of blood.
Yeah, he had like symbolism for like the mother and the daughter.
Yeah,
and, like,
right.
But so, I'd
Gregory
probably,
and they didn't buy it. Gregory was like, "Well, the corner of the beef is representative of angst, and then this corner of the beef that's not cooked as well, that's representative of a young person." Anyway, bullshit doesn't help you.
I think it has to probably eat well first, and then you really have to, I think that's like gets you to like to B+ or whatever, and then if you want to go to like A+, then you have to like him, the story makes sense.
Yeah, but I think that they didn't mark him down because it was so, like, I think they did think it was appropriate, that the way that it looked, but then it didn't taste good, as good, and so they...
Yeah, the sauce was too thick. That was their main concern about everything.
He could have found like ways to like refine, the dish for the story still. Like, thinner beet stuff. It would be kind of fun to have like more of like a, I don't know, some kind of bacon or pork infused, saucy bits. Because I think it was pig's blood in Kerry. That's what I would have gone for.
Yeah, they did say pig's blood.
And his was tomato based, which is fine. I have a theory of about Katsuji, and it really comes from like this and a couple of other dishes he's done and Last Chance Kitchen, is that he has a way of describing something using Spanish cooking terms that basically it sounds sophisticated, but really it's sort of a sauce and here's the base and I did a lot of crazy to it. And he
I mean, that should be the motto on his chef's jacket. I did a lot of crazy to it, Katsuji.
Well, with the sauce and curry, like, he made this, it was kind of like a stew, but then he just used the stew platform to do something completely un-stew-like with it. And it didn't eat like a stew, it didn't, like, you know, it was almost un-stew-like.
Yeah.
It's just like,
Was that the dish that was like something in Cacahuatado and like Tom asked him to say it again, or was that Last Chance Kitchen?
That was Last Chance Kitchen.
So I think the inevitable comparison, because even though they didn't seem to hold it against him how gross it was when they were actually judging it seemed like it was actually about the food, but they all were pretty shocked when it came out, and they seemed a little it did not look appetizing at all. So I guess the inevitable question is, why did that do so much so poorly when the Charlize Theron episode a couple seasons ago was one of the best episodes in the history of Top Chef?
This was still one of the best episodes this season. I mean, like, the food was consistently great across the board.
That's true.
So it was still good. It's just that his execution, like, it was gory in a way that didn't invite you to eat it, I think, in the other ones, like in the Charlize Theron one. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, like, the blood there was like, ooh, blood, I want to get into it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that, Chris, I didn't hear what you said, but I think that in the Charlize Theron episode, the dishes were gory, but they were also, like, there might have just been, like, a little bit more classiness to them, or a little bit more art, as opposed to
just a blood splatter.
Just sort of blood splatter.
Yeah, I remember like a charred black chicken's foot that was really horrifying, but also seemed like very carefully done.
Yeah,
it wasn't just splatter.
Yeah,
I also wonder if maybe it was partially just that they, like the Charlize Theron, it was like everybody was gross, and so you were like you were in good company, whereas on this one it was like Dr. Seuss's plate of boring next to, oh my god, blood splattered everywhere. So
yeah, or if you go like Mae's dish, yeah, if we look at Mae's dish and then Katsuzu's dish, those are so different. Like,
yeah, it was an unrefined gore.
There's not a theme.
It was like more Texas Chainsaw Massacre and less American Psycho.
Hmm. Okay.
Have you seen those? Oh, that was a good. That was really good.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, I think you're probably right. I just don't watch horror.
I haven't seen either of those.
No, you're totally right, Alex. I thought it was great. I just
really good. All right, let's move on. catch up on some predictions. It was really good. People at home will vindicate me. All right, so let's do let's talk about some predictions, and then we'll do Last Chance Kitchen. I think last week we did say that it was either Melissa or Katsuji. I believe I didn't actually go back and verify this, but I think we were pretty on to this one. Who do you think next week? It's got to be Melissa, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Really? Who do you think is going home before Sidehead?
Well, I am. The fact that George is here is just.
George.
It's not. I mean, he's been doing well, but it's also like my sense of justice is just like the. And it's not his fault. Like, he seems like a great guy and he seems like he's talented. But I just, like, I feel so upset because of the way that they set things up. And on the other hand, yeah, it wasn't fair that he went home on a quick fire at the very beginning.
Well, what's fair? There were too many chefs on the TV.
I wish that they had set up something where he'd, like, earned it a little bit more and, like, we'd gotten to know him a little bit more to get back on.
Yeah.
So, and giving him immunity today especially made it worse.
Yeah.
So. I think I would have been more upset about that if it weren't Katie who had gone home. If that weren't the exchange. Nothing against Katie. It's just that I thought her time had come anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I would be...
Bring someone back in if we're getting rid of someone who needed to go anyway?
Well, because I also felt like I wanted to see more of him because everyone had talked him up so much. If it had been any other two people, I think I probably would be more upset. But it was like the perfect combination of this guy I wanted to know more about and this woman who I was ready to say goodbye to, you know?
Yeah, I forgot about him. Which is easy to do at this point, I think. I'm going to give it to me. But I definitely think that him or Sidehead would be... I would be happy either way. I think it's... I'm done with him. I think we've seen... You got your moment back. Congratulations. You did fine. Go away. You're boring. You blew it on Dr. Seuss, which is unforgivable. I'm done with you.
Oh, do you have a real soft spot for Dr. Seuss?
But here's the thing with George is he had some strategy. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but at the beginning of the episode, he actually asked people, "So is anyone here missing their family?" Yeah. And then Katsuji said, "Yes."
Oh, I missed that.
Missing your family.
That's true.
He fell Katsuji. So that's very strategic of him.
He tricked Katsuji into going home by making him miss his family. That's true. That was really clever of him.
That is so funny that he thinks that works.
Yeah. It did work. We think it worked. That's. I was actually kind of disappointed that worked this time, that Katsuji missed his family and had to go home. I thought the elves were done doing that to us, making it that obvious.
Well, there were enough red herrings in the past that they could switch it
up
again.
I have a new theory, you guys.
Oh.
Everyone misses their family, and every week they record bits about missing their family, but they only show us the one for the person who's going home. Or
yeah,
who might
I 100%
go
agree with that. That's what I mean is that the elves did it by showing us them missing their family.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What if it's just that anytime you become kind of maybe too sympathetic, then something bad's going to happen to you?
Oh, like
so the elves make you look sympathetic before you?
Yeah, exactly. Because they want to like they, really what they want is they want us to feel bad, and so it's like anytime they they show someone to be likable, then
they lose then their eye the tiger.
They humanize you, and then you have to go home. That's interesting. Well, so so George or Sidehead? Let's do a final prediction. Bay Area, George or Sidehead? Who goes home next week, or someone else?
Sidehead.
Oh, those are our two options.
Yeah.
No, you can choose someone else, but those are the two that we had identified previously.
Yeah, we have marked them for elimination.
I'm going to say George.
Yeah?
They can't still get immunity, right?
No, hopefully not. Chris?
I'm going to say improbably May.
No.
No! Is it a headband-related incident?
There may be. There may be. She slips and breaks her headband, and then all her superpowers are gone. And something's going to have to happen. No, I just think, you know, I really don't know. I think that probably it's going to be Melissa. I think she's the weakest of the remaining chefs. But if last season is any indication, Fortune doesn't actually favor who I think should go home versus who will actually go home. So
if Fortune is indifferent to Chris. Yeah.
Yeah.
My head says Melissa, but my heart says George.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, I hope your heart's right as well, because that's where my heart is. Let's talk about Last Chance Kitchen. So Katsuji was gone, and so he had to compete in this continuing bizarro format of three people and two move on. He was competing against Adam.
Katie and Adam.
And Katie, and they're going to eliminate one of them.
I like this format a lot, actually, better, because it's kind of more like actual Top Chef, in that it's about being the least bad.
Is it right? Right. It's about not being the worst as opposed to about being the best. That's true. I like that. And it also does feel nicer that you have a 2-in-3 chance of going on as opposed to a 50-50 shot. I also love continuing. I love that the challenges are catered to the people's mess-ups and their weaknesses. So the challenge, because Katsuji was there, was to cook with at least 20 ingredients, which was hard for
everybody. And Katsuji cooked with 31.
Except for him. He wanted 31.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, he did a smart strategy by doing a mole, which is like Spanish for a ton of ingredients. So
yeah.
That's a good start.
A ton of ingredients, including chocolate.
Yeah, including inexplicably chocolate.
Well, I thought that was interesting because usually they have something that has sort of tripped someone up, which I guess having too many ingredients has sort of tripped him up. But it's also, you know, it's the way that he cooks. And so it's sort of playing to his strength rather than, you know, taking something.
That's true. That's sort of like if they had said like to like Stephanie before, they'd been like, your challenge is to cook rustic food. Right? That wouldn't be that big of a weakness.
Right. Yeah, no, and actually I kind of like with three that it's playing to the strength, because it's going to make it harder to stay in as one of the two surviving Last Chance Kitcheners.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And so like this is interesting, like their challenge keeps getting harder as you're getting the strength of the next person.
I think you gain the strength of having defeated the person you defeated.
Yeah,
you like Mega Man kind of thing.
Yeah,
like Mega Man.
Last Chance Mega Man. I liked it. I also liked the having to yell and name your ingredients, and it was
They had some of the other stool pigeons keeping track of their how many ingredients they had.
Yeah, did they make Aaron be secretary? I didn't see. Actually.
Yeah, Aaron was Katsuji's secretary. Yeah. He had arguably the hardest job.
They all had to come over from Loser's Condo to help tally the ingredients.
I would watch that spinoff of just Loser's Condo of just a bunch of people be like, well. Got another couple weeks here.
Top Chef, Loser's Condo.
Yeah, what happens in the Loser's Condo stays in the Loser's Condo.
Ooh, or it could be like No Chance Kitchen.
Oh, God.
Do you guys think
you're just eating macaroni and cheese? And
yeah.
For yourself, yeah. Like Kraft macaroni and cheese and putting it away in your like Glad Tupperwares.
Do you guys think that put a lot of Hidden Valley Ranch on everything.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys think that that the Loser's Condo is like the Olympic Village, where they're all just crazy, amped up? Everybody sleeps with everybody.
Well, I mean, the Olympic Vision Village, like after your event's done, and then you're like kind of like get to be like I don't know, like a fourth place person, and like maybe like a 12th place person, like get to have like awkward makeup sex. I guess like,
that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. I think they're all just like horny and relieved, and so they just spend the whole time relaxing.
A lot of these people have families back home, so I think there's
but the
more
cameras
just
are
like
off now, Chris. And we already said what happens in the Loser's Condo stays in the Loser's Condo.
I don't know. I don't want to think about that. They're chefs with chef bodies, not athletes with athletes' bodies.
I actually like it better than they got chef bodies. All right, let's move on.
Ooh. Wait. Really, before we move on, like I would like a body switch thing where just like Yeah, so it's like they take over like as like Gronk's
chef
body,
head, but Gronk
I guess,
body?
And then have to cook. Yeah, and then vice versa.
Dougie with Gronk's body. Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
And Dougie's just like, Dougie's why body. Am I so hungry? I'm way too hungry.
And then, yeah, I want like Dougie's body to show up for, you know, for Patriots.
Oh, that's practice. Mean.
No, I think he could do it. I think he'd could really, like, I don't know, just change the whole, like, strategy, I guess. How could they really tackle him? Like, he's just too likable.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
I'd put the football right. field in a cranberry bog.
Yeah, put him in a cranberry bog. Home field advantage.
I would like to see Gronkberry challenge. That would be fun. All right. we're running out of time, so it's time for our...
Ding.
Ding.
Mailbag.
The bell did not travel with me to my parents' house.
It's a I'm sorry. Bell-free holiday. Well,
yeah, that's the one thing they say about holidays. There are no bells during that time.
Yes. Like jingle
whenever
nothing.
You say Chris, you come up for Christmas, he says, yes, I will be there without any bells on.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't bring my board game Pit with me.
There are other bells you could have had, Christopher.
Oh, I thought you were in the board like game a million room, bells. Chris.
Yeah.
I am, but we don't have Pit here.
What do you have that makes noise? Do you have Taboo?
Yes, we have the his bells.
Oh, we have a bell?
Yeah, the little pink one.
You could also just do
all right, guys,
bag.
Hold on a second.
You already did the song.
Hold on. Yeah, we already did
bell
the song. What's
very
what?
Important.
I'll be right back.
He's gone, guys. He's gone.
Quick, let's do the mailbag. Okay, so. Fine.
No, not that.
Mom,
no, the bell.
I'm doing a podcast.
Square.
We got all right, jingle it, Ez, and let's do the song.
He said jingle it.
Jingle it, and let's do the song. It's time for the...
Mailbag.
Mailbag. This is the other option.
Full circle.
Yeah, there was also a bell on the floor that he didn't bring.
Oh, that one.
No, Ez, it's fine.
Ez.
No. People want to go home.
Mom, I'm doing a podcast.
People are bored.
They'll just listen to a 2X, all right? Okay.
All right, as last time, it's time for... That's it?
Mailbag.
We waited for that. All right. It's the caterpillar. It's not a bell. Okay, we're done. Mailbag. She's probably going to change her mind after this, but we got an email from Kimmy, and one of the things she did say was she really likes the mailbag. It's too late, Kimmy. It's done. We ruined it.
The travel version.
Yeah. Travel.
I feel like it traveled over a shark is what just happened, I think. It's time to move on. Anyway, we got a few emails. podcast@read-weep.com is our email address. So Kimmy said, first of all, thanks for introducing me to Top Chef. After finishing season 11 and catching up on 12, I decided to go back and watch some earlier episodes, including some of the spinoffs. Right now she's watching Just Desserts, which has been insane. And
yeah, that is an insane show.
Yeah, so she's kind of wondering, because we're not doing commentary on it, like she misses us and wants to know what we think about certain things. And I would just, let's give a quick reminder of our opinions of Just Desserts. I
that
loved it.
Felt...
I might be the only one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, it was so stressful.
I had like a breakdown.
Oh, the one he cried in the bar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was like the Good and Plenty's are for his mother
for
or something.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't. Are for my mommy. That was so bad.
That one was pretty
Kimmy,
bad.
I'm sorry if you're not...
Yeah. Yeah. The like it desserts. It's all drama queens, right? It's all just everybody's like yelling and screaming and making
all
desserts.
Drama queens, there was that guy who had the cookie bakery who kept making perfect things that were not exciting enough for the show, and they were all like,
"Yeah,
I
this is a perfect cookie,
you,
but we
win.
Were going for." Yeah, it's never going to win this wearable dessert challenge, but it's a good cookie.
It's the best cookie.
Okay, but you guys remember the Willy Wonka challenge? That was so awesome.
I think it's one of the best challenges in Top Chef history is when they built the Willy Wonka village and then the people had to walk around in it and you could just grab stuff and eat it. Wasn't that great?
That was super.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was so super. Good. We loved that. It's insane, though. It is absolutely insane. I'm not surprised it's not on the air anymore. It doesn't have the fun. Well, you know, baking just doesn't have the drama, like the fun of like cooking prep. It's a lot more stirring and a lot more waiting for things.
I mean, I guess the thing for me, it was just the personalities were not different enough. And they were all just a really, they were just taxing to hang out with for me.
Yeah, they were taxing to hang out with for sure. Also that guy from with the 50s, the rockabilly guy. Who was that guy?
Oh, Johnny something.
Of course,
is
Johnny Uzzini.
Yeah. And Gail. Yeah. That was the thing. What is your favorite of the spinoffs?
Canada, obviously, right? Is that count as a spinoff?
Yeah, sure. I'll give Canada. I mean, it was my favorite for the first two seasons, but season three was really bad.
Well, really, it was my favorite for the first one season.
Yeah,
like, even season two was
only okay, but one was great. McEwen Foods and such.
Yeah.
It was delightful for one. I mean, Masters is always good.
Masters is still my favorite, I think, spinoff.
Do you like Masters Modern or Masters Original, where you saw, like, 400 chefs for 2 minutes?
Oh, I like Masters Modern. I like Masters, like, season, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, or, you know, whatever they did. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
You know, and Art Smith comes in, he's like, I just cook with love and Oprah and
that's
love.
The one thing I don't like about Masters is that Art Smith is always on it somehow. He's never not on the show. It's really bizarre.
Yeah.
I like Duels, too. I enjoyed Duels.
Although I really like Duels.
You can't do Duels every year because they're just... I just don't care about that many chefs, and you've already done several of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we can all agree that we liked all the spinoffs except for
Desserts. Just Desserts.
Except for Alex.
I love Desserts. I also am glad there's not a Top Chef kid, so I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That was in development for a while.
The Master, right? What is it? Master Chef Junior.
But I don't know.
I like it because they make kids cry.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm sure there's a place on TV you can watch that. This is not by email, but J number 2 actually sat down.
Wait, guys, hold on. Mailbag.
This is actually not by mail, but J number 2, I believe, is the number that he is. Sat down next to me at a play over the weekend to tell me
about... Wait, so this is just bag, then, is what you're trying to tell me?
Well, yeah, it is. Also, we were saying last week that he had been EGOTing at all the different methods of feedback, and now that he's talked to me in person, he's definitely completed his EGOT. it's the most thorough anyone's ever been about methods of feedback. But he just wanted to clarify, so apparently the Mexico thing, he mentioned about the finale being Mexico. We had not heard about it. Apparently it was from the Thanksgiving episode, I think, that they mentioned it in the preview coming up, and so, but it is confirmed it is definitely in Mexico.
Wow.
And so that's something fun to look forward to.
Man, J2 knows his stuff.
He does. He's been watching. He also made some Padma Mischief comics that I'm going to post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/packyourmics. They're super cute.
Wow, thanks, J2.
Are these going to embarrass me also, like,
no.
Like most Padma?
No, these are not embarrassing. These are cute.
Okay, it's not Big Sausage related. It's like, it's more like Padma, like, none wasting
of
fish.
Sex life.
Okay.
Wait, Alex, how did J number 2 find you at a play?
Oh, we're friends.
Okay.
It's not just a creepy guy who showed up at a play.
Yeah.
I mean, I think here's the thing.
Social circles. Yeah. So we ended up at the same events.
Well, I was going to say, Alex, if you weren't friends yet, I'd just say, like, go for it and then become friends. Otherwise, you're going to get stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the only options at this point.
Yeah, no, I'd say go for friendship. Absolutely.
Jay's great. And I actually saw him at a play and I went and sat down next to him. There was nothing creepy about it at all.
Oh, yeah.
Not creepy at all.
No.
You're the creeper.
Yeah, you're the creeper now.
That's true. I have been receiving all of this email. let's see. Where did it say? No, don't do it yet. Don't do it. Because I wanted to say one more thing about the Mexico thing. Season premiere. I don't know. It doesn't actually say where in Mexico yet, I don't think. But anyway, there is some
the good part.
Okay, the end. But yeah, it'll be in Mexico. It'll be great. It probably will be in one of the nicer places.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Or at least like food culture-y places.
Tempers
like Oaxaca
and
or something.
Tempers and temperatures will rise in San Miguel de Allende.
Allende.
In a fiery three-part finale.
That's like the whitest and most American place in Mexico they could have possibly decided to go.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like where all the like old Americans retire.
Ooh. So maybe there's some old Americans I'll be cooking for.
Oh, it is beautiful.
And they're like Chase Sapphire preferred members or something.
Oh, yeah.
it's the Chase Sapphire preferred corner of Mexico. They have a special section. It looks fairly central Mexico.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe
it's in the mountains, I think.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, they could have been in Puerto Vallarta. I mean, they could have been in other, like, touristy places.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really excited about it. I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be great. And then lastly, one more time as...
Mailbag.
Lucas, as usual, has a bunch of questions for us that are sort of beyond Top Chef related, but I think this one's really interesting. He was saying that his girlfriend has been too busy for them to watch the show together, but it reminded him that all of us, because we watch the show as couples as well, he wanted to know, like, sort of if we have a typical way of going about it, the way we set up, do we eat while we're watching it, etc.? Do we have, set arguments about different chef testants? I would prefer we never, ever say chef testants again. Can we make that a rule? Can we just say contestants or chefs?
I will not agree to that.
Oh,
nope.
Man. I'm never saying it again. If
it's like saying spokesmodel. It's a portmanteau, but it's become a thing.
Oh, it's not a thing. Chef testant.
You can't unthing it, dude.
You can't.
You can't unring that bell application.
It's been thung. You can't unthing it.
You can't unthing that bell. I.
Yeah.
All right. So how do you guys go about it? Like, we try to watch it on like Thursday or Friday night because we aren't able to watch it when it airs, but. We usually do sit down and eat dinner while it's happening. I usually prefer to make the least fancy meal that we have all week, and then we eat it while we're watching it for some reason. What do you guys
think? Oh, well, yeah, we wind up doing that, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It does feel wrong to bring takeout to watch Top Chef.
Well, but we do that all the time.
We do. I know. It feels a little wrong, though.
It feels wrong every time.
Deliciously wrong.
It feels right to me. I love it.
Yeah. We do whatever we possibly can to actually sit down and watch
it. I think that's the main thing. Usually it's probably like around 8 because then Caleb's already asleep.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we've already like had like a 5-minute dinner and then like, you know, play with Caleb for a second and then put him down. And then it's like, all right, we're on the couch. We're like just splayed, just like
exhausted.
Yeah.
Do you guys like pause it to talk a lot? I guess you guys are too busy.
I don't think we're verbal at that point.
No, we don't. We don't talk to each other or anyone for like ever.
No, but we really do enjoy like this quiet space.
We pause to debate things a lot or to like go back and
yeah, or make predictions. We pause to be like, okay.
Sometimes
that
we'll
definitely
pause
means
to make
this
a prediction.
Is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like Caleb will cry and then we'll like talk about it for a second before.
Yeah.
Before we get back to watching.
Lucas says, which I really like, my girlfriend can't speak or understand English all that well. So the watching is a lot of pausing and translating why Tom is mad.
Lucas, you're very dedicated to this.
I like it so much that his girlfriend's just like, I don't understand any of this. Why are we doing this? Why is this happening?
She understood the words Padma, Lucas. That's from the podcast when he would explain us to her.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said their tradition is to listen to our show while cooking lunch, and all she can understand is words are like Lucas, Padma, and gorgeous, and so she's always jealous when she's listening to the show.
Oh, you just did it again then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she understood everything you said.
Yeah.
Lucas go through
sitting in a tree.
That's so nice that we're part of your tradition.
Yeah, lunch tradition.
Yeah,
that's
very
really
nice.
An honor.
Yeah.
I wish we could offer more for like a non-English speaker, I guess. Like I feel like most of it's going to be like Caleb moaning in the background because that's like a universal language type thing.
Yeah, that's definitely universal. The ding is universal.
Yeah, she understands ding.
Yeah, she's going to have like the worst Pavlovian response, which is just like anytime the bell rings, I think about my boyfriend and Padma together. It's terrible.
No.
I mean, I guess so. Lucas, let us know how you feel about Gronk now.
Yeah, Gronk,
I guess
she can understand, right? Or as much as anybody.
Gronk is the universal.
Gronk wants sausage.
Also, she probably liked the way Sarah pronounced San Miguel de Allende.
Oh, where are they from? Well,
they're from Spain.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Really? Wait, Lucas? I thought that was CZ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought he was Czech.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Czech?
I mean,
oh, never mind.
I mean, I think it's a beautiful pronunciation, sir. So I think no matter what.
Joan is from Spain.
I thought he was our Spain guy.
That's Joan.
Oh, that is Joan. Ah, damn it all. Well, you guys are all starting to blur together now that we're up to 3 fans.
I think this is just the weirdest thing about the world that, we're able to create stuff and send it out to everyone, and it's mostly dings and Caleb moaning. I wish we had a better gift for the world.
I feel good about it.
I'm going to give it to us.
I feel fine about
Great.
It.
Great.
If you have feedback for us, you want us to talk about your girlfriend, send us an email, podcast@readsweep.com. If you have feedback about how long this bell took this week.
Hold on. Wait, there's extra bell mode on this app.
We know. Yeah. We know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's shaking and it's not ringing. I don't care about
Yep.
Well, you found the worst app. There was a challenge. you nailed it.
That was for Lucas's girlfriend.
Just so she understands something.
Bell.
Well,
Bell.
Before this devolves into anything truly unlistenable.
Twitter, we're on Twitter at Pack Your Mics. And you can also find us on Facebook. Pack Your Mics. Web comments. There's an open thread every week right after the show airs at packyourmics.com where you can give us your feedback there as well. Final thoughts this week?
Dougie all the way. Dougie wins out.
Oh, Dougie over Gregory?
Dougie might win out. I mean, I'm just so impressed with the group. I mean, we've got six chefs this episode that we just watched, and now we're down to five. The food is just getting better and better and better. Mm-hmm. This is where we want the season to be.
How many
this
people
is gonna
do
be
they
a
take
good...
to Mexico? It's a three-episode finale, and I know Last Chance Kitchen brings one back in. So how many chefs do we think they bring? Five?
Yeah, I think four.
No, they bring four, and then one gets, they always do the thing on the way where somebody might get eliminated.
Somebody there and eliminate another person on episode two, and then the three cook, or two cook at the end.
Yeah, the three cook at the end.
So we might only have one more episode, so get rid of either George or Sidehead, and then, I almost called her Side Hug, that's weird. And then,
Side of the Hut?
And send them to Mexico. Well, I'm excited about that, you guys. It's been really fun. Thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you.
Guys, do you think anyone's going to make it out of Last Chance Kitchen to actually contend?
I don't think Adam's got it. I think he's good, but not that good. I don't know if Katsuji can. I mean, it depends on who gets eliminated.
He might reverse Drake.
I think Katsuji could beat George and Sidehead, and he'd get back into the triple, but I don't think he contends. I think Gregory, Dougie, and May all the way.
May.
I think they're the final
three.
These are the three that we were talking about at the start of the season.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gregory's had a little bit of a slide. He unevenly cooked steak, but everything else was great, and his story wasn't that good this week, I guess, but I still think he's a solid contender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't. That's some pedigree.
Yeah, he peaked early, and Dougie is peaking at a better time, but I don't know. I still think it's the three of them for sure.
Yeah, you could always twin peak it. You could get another peak.
Yeah, I think what it is actually is I think maybe having an early front runner is probably better for the number two and number three people because they really have to raise their game.
Yeah,
in order to
that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. And for him, he has he's running faster than the carrot. So how does that keep you motivated?
Yeah, right. You have a carrot like at your butt.
Yeah, you're dragging a carrot along the track. That's not helpful. Well, maybe this is the carrot at your butt episode. You never know.
If Doug gets a hold of that carrot, right? It's like really depth of flavor. It'll be like
he'll make an amazing all right. Thank you guys so much for listening to Pack Your Mics. We'll be back again next week. PackYourMics.com as always. We'd love to hear from you some more. PackYourMics.com/Amazon when you shop at Amazon if you want to support our show. Chris, thanks for being here. It's been really fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. I thought I was really a top contender.
I think you did a great job. Thanks, as always, in the Bay Area, Sarah and Ezra and Baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And thanks for being here in Portland, Megan.
Thank you, Alex.
I'm Alex. And because of just some really poor performance with the bell, Ezra, pack your mics and go.
Whoa!
A surprise elimination! Oh, my God.
That bell thing.
Caleb's upset.
I think as you took a risk...
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even mention how delightful it is that they also hate the phrase "I took a risk."
Yeah, that was so awesome. Good. Yeah,
they realize it sounds corny, but then they end up saying it anyway because they're panicked. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I guess I'll see all the Chris's in Last Chance Kitchen.
only two of you can move on. It might be both Chris's. We'll see.
Yeah.
Take care. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye,
guys.
I guess 2 weeks. A couple weeks. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Chris's, I should warn you, the challenge will be bell-based.